Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you, Juan, for ringing the bell. That ringing of the bell, is in fact a manifestation of our collective karma, in the sense that because João chooses to ring the bell and to ring it in a certain way, that has an impact on all of us. This is a really basic, clear example of collective karma. How João's personal karma of choosing to pick up the gong, the stick, and ring the bell in a certain way, and then how that, because he does that, it has an impact on us. We all then respond to that in a certain way. Just like each of our individual karmic choice, our choice to come here tonight, has an impact on the others, because just the appearance of your box on the screen changes the way that my screen looks. That each of us, the screen looks differently according to the number of the people, according to the order in which people arrived, whether they turned their video on or off. If they turn their video off, then that changes the dynamic on the screen again. For each of us, we feel like our image is the one at the top, next to the administrator, but to everyone else, it doesn't. So each of us, our choice, our action impacts everyone else. These are really clear examples of that. And I was struck by that when we sat down and logged on, when I logged on and I looked at the screen, because I had been thinking about, you know, there's so much turmoil in our world, and so much division, polarization, damage, harm, you know, whether it's to individuals hurting each other, whether it's war, so there's, you know, states causing violence and against one another, whether it's our major climate crisis, and you know, if we take a step back, I find for myself the way that I can best understand the reality, and I love our practice for this reason, is to look at it through this karmic lens, from this view of karma. Karma, you know, it's this term that is thrown around, but it really just means the complex interconnection of causes and conditions. So like with the example of João ringing the bell, so he makes this choice to ring the bell, and then that has an impact on us. That has an effect. And then we respond in a certain way to it. So it's each of us, our individual karma is how we respond to it. And even the fact that we're here, and the collective is the impact that what we do has on everyone else. The fact that I choose to speak, that has an impact on you, on the group. It has an impact on me, but it also has an impact on the group, on each one of us in our individual little symbolic rectangles, which are just symbols of our life. And the way that we can see the greater, or understand the greater challenges, turmoils, beauties of the world is from this karmic perspective. Because nothing is random or accidental. Everything that is happening right now is the fruition or arises from all of the choices that people have made. People have made over time, and people are making now. And the choices we make now are the fruition of choices that we made before, or that others made before. So if we look at climate change, you know, it's people may deny it, but it really is the result of human action. Actions, plural, let's say. I think, you know, if we look at it scientifically, it's pretty clear that, I mean, and I'm not so familiar with the climate change deniers. I don't really know what that is about, but it seems very clear to me that the situation that we have in the world today is a result of our human actions. So we know that from turning on air conditioners, from running cars with fossil fuels, from all of our pollution that we throw into the air and the water, we see the effect that has, the impact that has. We also see the impact of actions that we don't take. So those are actions that we do take. Actions that we don't take, like not stopping, not recycling, let's say, or not driving cars all the time, not taking airplanes all the time. These actions that we don't take, as well as the actions we do take. And we see that the impact on that, it transcends just our individual life. It's a collective karma that we're experiencing. Climate change is a really good one, or, you know, COVID is a really good one. Any virus like that is a good one, but COVID is like such a prominent one that we've been experiencing now for almost 3 years. We know that the choices we make have an impact on ourselves, but also on others. And I don't think anyone, even, you know, people who don't want to have, you know, rules about masks or vaccines or anything like that, I don't think they deny that there is an effect, that we do contaminate each other, right? I think everyone agrees on that to some degree or another. And it's really clear then, therefore, that our decisions have an impact on ourselves and on others. And often we take decisions based on only the impact on ourselves. So we say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to wear a mask because I want to protect myself. That's our primary motivation. Or I'm not going to wear a mask because I don't think that it's important. Or I don't want anyone to tell me what to do or something. But those decisions have an impact on others as well. Not only on us, but on others. And when we can widen our scope, you know, and when we can have this collective, this view of collective karma, when we see that, I think I was saying last week, you know, one sangha, or what was I saying? Was it in a study group or was it in a talk? I don't know. About there's only one sangha. The universe is the sangha. The universe is the altar, is the zendo. If we can see that the whole world is our land, is our community, is our tribe, and that it's all our family, we act differently. And when we can see that the impact of our actions have, if it's someone in our family, maybe, you know, people always say, oh yes, well, if I'm going to see my grandmother, then I'll be really careful. Yeah, then I'll wear a mask and whatever. But if I'm just going to see my friends, I'm not. And this is my son's argument, kind of. I mean, not his argument, it's just his position, because he feels like, you know, with his friends and his colleagues and whatever, it doesn't really matter. But if he's going to see his grandmother, well, then it's something different. That's an acknowledgement, even so, that the impact of our choice, there is an impact of our choice on others. How about if we acted in the world as if everyone was our grandmother? If everyone was a member of our family? If everything, you know, every being, so not just humans, but every being was our tribe, was our family, was us, what would happen? You know, if we transcended the divisions, the differences, because that's, you know, that's if this opening to this view of collective karma, it teaches us to transcend the divisions. It doesn't say ignore them or overlook them. We see the difference between, my son sees clearly the difference between his grandmother and his buddies who he's going out to have a beer with. I mean, he completely knows the difference. And I don't really have any intention by pointing out my son. It's just the example of seeing his grandmother that came to mind. But for all of us, we see the difference, you know? But can we transcend those differences all the while seeing them and transcend them to include them all and treat everyone, treat every being with the same care? It doesn't mean we will behave with everyone in the same way, but we will bring the same care, same attention, the same intention of doing no harm, let's say. The same let's say the same enlightened mind or something like that. Because, okay, so karma is, of course, actions, the impact of actions and the conditions. Conditions in which we grew up are part of the way that we act today. Everything that happened to us as a child has grown and comes to fruition in this moment. Everything that our parents experienced, everything that their parents experienced, everything that their societies experienced, we often say that people who, and there aren't many anymore, but who experienced the Second World War had a different view of the world than people who didn't. People who grew up during the Cold War, we say, have a different view than people who didn't. Or, you know, in Portugal, people who grew up under Salazar have a different experience of people who were born after that. People who all different circumstances. The thing is, it's not only our circumstances that lead to our karma and the impact. It's also our consciousness, our state of mind. So if we are coming from a place of enlightened mind, let's say, enlightened heart and mind, then the actions will come from love, compassion, this wisdom of all one. Whereas if we come from the unenlightened mind or heart, then we will come from a place of division, separation, aggression, the three poisons, greed, anger, ignorance. And that's what we see happening more and more in our world today. Just today, someone, who was I talking to? I don't know. Conversation today. Oh, I know. Yeah, there was someone was talking about Israel and how the Benjamin Netanyahu has just probably will be taking power again in Israel. And he's quite extreme right wing, no concessions guy. And, you know, someone was saying, oh, you know, it's so great that in Brazil, Lula was elected, and maybe now there's a real chance for something there. But then in Israel, we have this, and in the US, we have maybe, you know, Democrats are going to lose the elections and all of this stuff. And it kind of led to this thing, well, it's everywhere. It takes different forms, but this unenlightened mind of division, separation, aggression, exclusion, that then breeds hate, is everywhere. I mean, it knows no boundaries. So we can see the karmic consequences of an enlightened mind or an unenlightened mind. And I'm only using enlightened in terms of, because we're talking in Buddhist jargon, but coming from a place of wholeness, oneness, instead of separation. Inclusion rather than exclusion. And we can see very clearly that our circumstances will, of course, influence our state of mind, but our state of mind will also influence our circumstances. Poor people are not necessarily unhappy. And rich people are not necessarily happy. You know, what we think of as material wealth does not bring spiritual wealth. Of course, there is basic. We need to have basic needs satisfied in order to thrive as a human being. But we know very well that money doesn't bring happiness, or material wealth does not bring spiritual wealth. So what is it that does then? You know, what is it that brings so when we see the wholeness of the world, then there comes something different. We act differently. We feel differently. You know, someone, I think maybe it's the Dalai Lama or Thich Nhat Hanh maybe, who said, the best way to change the world is to love yourself, to truly love yourself, to truly know yourself. And when you do truly love and know yourself, then you love everyone and everything, the earth, you treat the earth differently. You treat other people differently. You treat animals differently. And this collective karma view that helps us transcend the differences, the divisions, it also helps us to be more accepting and forgiving, because we can see if someone is angry and lashing out or something, we understand where that comes from. And we can see probably the karmic circumstances behind it, even if we don't know the details. But we can probably, that person is, we know where anger comes from, fear, doubt, attachment, projections. If we are just present with what is, then there might be anger, but it won't be ego attached to anger. It might be anger that is just related to the injustice or something in the situation. But as we know, as we know, we have more patience for people in our family. Sometimes we have the opposite, right? The closer the person, the harder it is, right? But that too is an interesting sign. No? What does that say about our experience of collective karma and transcending the differences? What does that mean? If we are someone who is so close to us, and it can be your mother, it can be a father, it can be a child, it can be a partner, it can be, a best friend, what does that mean then, that I treat that person with less kindness and care than I do someone else? This is a question we can look into. Whatever it is, it has to do with you and your state of mind. It doesn't have to do with the circumstances, apart from the fact that whatever is arising in that circumstance, your child lost for the 20th time her bus pass or something, or whatever it is that happens to annoy you, your child is not doing what you want him or her to do, or is not the way that you want him or her to be. Well, that is coming from your own position, your own attachment to how you want things to be. Of course, kids losing stuff is really annoying, especially when it's like the cell phone that is lost 5 times or something. That's really annoying and has consequences, financial. It involves like having to do all kinds of stuff, or all this administrative stuff, declaring it lost, going to the police, whatever. But the way that we behave while reacting to that is entirely up to us. It's a choice. And it's based on whatever state of our mind is, And can we see that in the same way that the way that João rings the bell and when he rings the bell and how that impacts us, the way that we talk to our child, our partner, our parents, our colleagues, the way that we behave, whatever we do, is the equivalent of ringing the bell and will have an impact. João ringing the bell has an impact on him too. He feels something when he does that. He has his motivations for doing it. He maybe doesn't always like it. he does it, and maybe has opinions about it, or I don't know, whatever. But it does impact him, but it also impacts us. And how he rings it, if we really pay attention, we can feel something in it. I've told this story sometimes about how my teacher's teacher, Genpo Roshi, officially, when you go to a big official Zendo, there is a drum that is at the head of the Dokusan line. You're sitting there, you're waiting for Dokusan, formal zazen, the whole thing. And the person who's at the head of the line, there's a drum. And when the teacher rings the bell, the person at the head of the line is supposed to pound the drum to say that they're coming. And so Genpo Roshi had this, not all the time, but at some retreats. So once when I was a very young practitioner, I was there. I was Genpo Roshi's Jisha, and so I wasn't theoretically supposed to be in line. But between Jishas, we could trade, and when there was a moment, I could get in line, and the other Jisha could watch my line, as Jishas do all the time. And so I got in line, my turn came, I hit the drum, I ran in, and I sat down, and Genpo said, "Oh, I knew it was you by the way you rang the bell." But he was saying this in kind of like derogatory, like the bell was not, I could tell by the way you hit the drum. It wasn't very good. I could tell it was you. And I was, wow. Now, I don't know if he was just saying that, but there is some element of truth to it. If you really pay attention, the bell, you can really tell how someone rings the bell and what they are bringing to it. Online, it's a little more difficult because the sound is deformed, you know. But sometimes even online, it's like really loud or really fast. Sometimes not. It just depends. But all of the karma, individual and collective, of that person, all of us in that moment, is manifested in that bell ringing. It really is. And so when we can see that, when we can see this notion of collective karma, everything that's happening in the world it's no longer someone else's karma. It's our karma. So climate change, that's our karma. The war in Ukraine, that's our karma. The team that wins a football match, that's our karma. The team that loses a football match, that's our karma. The plants, the flower opening, that's our karma. The leaves falling from the trees, that's our karma. Your karma is my karma. And my karma is your karma. We all share the same karma, the same fate. We're all in this together. I remember the Robert Thurman, this American Buddhist scholar, was actually the father of Uma Thurman, the actress, but he's a specialist, a Tibetan practitioner and specialist. And I read some article of his once where he gave this example of he was stuck in a subway car, I think, in New York. You know, like happens all the time. The train stops and you have to just sit there underground. I don't know if it happens in Lisbon, but it happens in Paris, it happens in New York, it happens in Chicago, every metro I've ever been on, it happens. And you have to just sit there and wait for it to get sorted out. And that he had experienced that. And he said it was so clear to him that that little microcosm in that train car was actually a little microcosm of the world. That it's as if we all are, every single being and thing on the earth, we are all in the same train car. And that when he was in that train car, you know, there were people who were like not happy and being aggressive, and others who were trying to calm things down. And they all had to come to some kind of, I guess they were in there for a long time or something. They had to come to some kind of agreement to, you know, like diffuse the situation and just be there together. And he said it really reminded him of this notion of collective. He didn't use collective karma, but that's what he was referring to. That we're all in this together. And that everything each of us does has an effect on everyone else. And whatever anyone else does has an effect on me. And this was his kind of case to be made for the Bodhisattva way, the way of seeing the oneness and caring for others. I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh, but, you know, the best way to change the world is to, I think Thich Nhat Hanh, he said it was to be peace, being peace. He even had a book, Being Peace. So it's be peace, be love. It's what you are anyway. And whether you ring the bell or you talk to your children or do whatever it is you have to do at your workplace, can we do that with this notion of collective impact, that whatever I'm doing will impact me and everyone else? You know, and sometimes we think, oh, well, I can't stop the war in Ukraine. I can't stop climate change. I can't stop, you know, divisions and political divisions. I can't stop discrimination, racism. I can't stop people having guns in America and going into schools and killing children. I can't stop that. That's true. But I can start here. Like the Bodhidharma, like the Dalai Lama said, there's no disarmament in the world until each of us disarms ourselves. And it will make a difference. It will make a difference in your community, in your family, what we think of, what you think of as your community and family, in your apartment building, the way that you greet the people in the stairs. In the bakery, in the shop when you're buying bread, how you behave with the person who's selling the bread. It will make a difference. There's just no way around it. It does make a difference. So Miguel has turned off his camera. That makes a difference. It's neither good nor bad, but it's a different appearance on the screen than it was before. So his choice to turn off his camera has an impact on us. And whatever is happening for him, wherever he is, that he made that choice, has an impact on us. And I'm not saying it's good or bad to turn off your camera. Maybe it is good. He probably turned off his camera for a reason, because he was moving around or something. But in any case, it has an impact. That's the important thing. What effect does what I do and say have? And to see the collective current. So it's a lot of words. They have an impact of some sort. Maybe you can share and then we will find out, and your words will have an impact on us as well.
Good night, everyone. A few years ago, I was in London. I was studying there economics. And it was the first time for me to be abroad out of France for years. It was an exhilarating, exciting experience. Everything was new. I thought everyone was nice. I had a lot of good experiences over there. I felt like I was in a place where there were no prejudices, because I was speaking French, and every time I was greeted, because I was a foreigner, so I was always well greeted, well welcomed. It was always a nice surprise. Oh, okay, you come from France. Okay, and it was a lot of good conversations, and so I had a lot of good experiences over there. Even when I was just entering the bakery and say hello, oh, you're from France, so everything was like a party. So I said, okay, I'm good. Maybe I'm going to stay there forever and be, always be welcome as a foreigner, but happily welcome. And after a while, I came back to France for different reasons. And I started to be, I don't know, for other reasons, more happy and more welcoming myself to everyone. And suddenly, everyone was nice. Like when I was in London, but it was me, I changed. I was nice. I was smiling. I was welcoming people. And suddenly, I thought, maybe it was me. I was different. It was the bed. And as soon as I was smiling and having a little conversation with people working, it was like I was over there. So what was the difference? It was me. I was different. So the world was different because I was different. So I don't know. That's how I understand that. What you said, Roshi.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice story. Good example of how we can realize something about ourselves from a positive experience. It's not always negative.
Night, everyone. it's been said now. Well, I live here in this place, and my ordinary life, it's pretty much to be in this natural outside place with my animals. It's not a very big place, but it's big enough for me to not have contact with people. But even so, the traces, the sounds of what people is doing around come to me. And sometimes it's really kind of a shock. It's really a contrast. Things people are doing, for instance, the shouts of the hunters, peh, 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 twice a week, the people shouting very loud at football every Sunday and Saturday now too. Rars, rars. It was the horns. It's all around, and the races of the cars and so on, so on. Very contrast, a big contrast in kind of my quiet animals and birds and, well, and sometimes I think, what a mad world. How can I be here alone? And those so many different things are happening at the same time. Realities, different realities. And I tend to think of, they are all mad. I think sometimes they're really mad that they only want to. People around me, it's doing some stuff that always are loudy. And then when I have to, I go to the village I feel pretty kind of surprised because everything is in order. And I say, good morning, can I have this two breads or something like this? And people is really polite. Everything is very, very peaceful at the same time. Yeah, and it's like this. I am polite to them and they are polite to me. And we look in the eyes and we talk about something. And it's really very big contrast. So yeah, the world is this. It's the same people that I think they are mad, they, not me. Big separation here. It's the same people. I see that they are wonderful too. Yeah, it's true. Well, it's my experience. Thank you.
Good evening. It's really that I feel in me since I practice Zen. It's this difference that I take care of my behavior with. Much more than before, when I'm with other people and I see that, I think that when the things didn't go well, it's perhaps because of me. And I'm it's really a good resume from this practice for me. In it's not always, but more and more I take care of the of my behavior and yeah, it's only that. Thank you.
And when we take care of our behavior, then that has a different effect than if we don't take care of our behavior. And whatever the examples are, you know, in Marlene's story, if she was constantly telling people to turn off their televisions, shut up, don't blow, don't make noise when there's football, it would be very different than her just thinking, oh, these people are crazy. Or if she then carried her unhappiness at the noise that people are making, the hunters, the people, whatever they're doing, the cars. When she went into the village and talked to the people selling bread or the whatever she's interacting with, then that would have a different impact. You know, so Sue says, taking care of how I behave, well, that's it too, you know. Just not coming with an idea about how it should be or shouldn't be is already changing the way that we, changing the collective karma, the individual karma, but also the collective karma.
I was thinking about this tonight. I came home on the train and the bus and the metro at 6. So this is like peak traveling time in the Paris area. And I'm trying not to be, to get so angry about the fact that everybody punches me around. Everybody punches everybody around. I think my feeling is I get punched more because I'm small, but that's probably just my feeling. So the guy, the gal, you know, I kind of danced through. It was all right. But when I got on the bus, the seat next to me was free. And the man that came around to take that seat, he bashed me with his bag. And he was all kind of flailing around in his leather jacket and the face and everything. And he sat down. He was kind of all over me, and I was almost home, and it had been relatively peaceful, so I wasn't, sometimes I just go berserk. I don't do anything outwardly, but inside I think, what an idiot, and why is this stupid person, but I wasn't mad, and I was almost home, and I started thinking about this guy, thinking how, not miserable, but how probably wasn't a very happy person. I mean, it's not very pleasant to be bashing around all the time. First of all, I'm studying yoga and dance and a whole bunch of other physical things. That that little control over your body is indicative of a lot of other things. If you can't sit down with your jacket and not hit three people, you have a problem. Eckhart Tolle said somewhere, a lot of people can't get through the room without bashing into the furniture. And when you travel in the Paris area, there's a lot of bashing into furniture. But they're not, the people that are doing that are not, they're not doing it on purpose, first of all. And it's an indication of a lack of control. And that little, this guy was like 50. You're 50 years old and you can't control yourself to sit down. There's something very sad about that, really, in a way. And I felt kind of sorry for him. Is it like that all day long? You go careening around, bagging into things all day long? That's kind of, tragic is too big a word, but it's, first of all, it's a lot of work. And it means there's a lack of focus to a certain extent. In some cases, I mean, I really have studied this because I take the transportation system a lot and I get banged around a lot and so does everybody else. There are people that it's obvious when I look at them that they do not know what body they have. They are not controlling this, their system. And that's tragic, really, when you think about it. So all of this, we're all, especially in a place like the Galeno, I mean, it's a living, moving example of what you were talking about, Roshi, is that every single person's move affects everybody else in the Galeno to a certain extent. Yeah.
Miguel?
Hello, everyone. I was making dinner for my daughter. So sorry to disappearing. But I heard. And as the stories was getting told, the sense of interconnection of endless effects, endless before and after, which brings the question of who am I in the middle of these endless waves of interaction. But at the same time, there's the although I can question who am I in this, I know that I can make difference. I can choose, as you, Amy, was telling us, the conduct, the behavior, the importance of the ethical conduct, the precepts, we can really make with mindfulness, let's say, differently. And the waves, the effects, although we can predict them, of course, we expect that they can be more in harmony with, if it is in family, if it is in environment, if it is whatever. And yeah, it's this. Thank you.
Yeah, karma is so close and so vast that we can't see it, you know? everything we do now results from everything that has ever happened before and will have an effect on everything that will happen and everything that is happening now. Just incredibly vast and true. The precepts, that's what we have them for, us to help us to act in a way, the way of least harm, let's say, so that our effect, our impact, you know, we talk about carbon footprint and things like that. Well, can we have a karmic footprint that is creating no harm? I mean, what an amazing world it would be if that's what everyone was doing, you know? But we don't have to worry about everyone else. We just need to worry about us, our carbon footprint, our karmic footprint. We are out of time. That's part of our karmic situation. Thank you for joining, and keep it in your heart, the notion of we're all in this together. It really makes a difference.